Your icebox is bare. Eat the rim. Show your stomach you care. Eat the rim. Pull the rib chest of a flower. Back to shame. Swelling out the long walk with no boots to play. And I'm tired of living it life. Best to forget. Eat the rim. Yum, yum, yeah, eat the ribs. Yum, yum, yeah. Chemicals in your food. Eat the ribs.
Yum, yum, yeah.
Now don't you think that that's rude? Gone, eat the ribs.
Yum, yum, yeah.
Oh, the bitch has the power. I'm back to shame. Spreading out the problem, but we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of living in life. Best to forget, eat the ribs.
Yum, yum,
yeah, eat the ribs.
Yum,
yum, yeah. You got the poverty blues. Eat the ribs.
Yum, yum, yeah.
You ain't got nothing to lose, so go on, eat the ribs. Chance of power, thank to shame. Spreading out the love, but we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of living in life. Best to forget, eat the
ribs.
Yum, yum, yeah, eat the
ribs.
Yum, yum, yeah. This is the part of the song I like a lot. Cause we get to look at the menu. Sure looks delicious. Makes my mouth just water. Says here that melons are always in season. They got Getty's and meatballs.
Getty's and meatballs.
I said Getty's and meatballs.
Getty's and meatballs.
Some folks they like oysters like a fella.
Oysters like a fella.
But not me. I like to watch TV and eat Hearst patties on high. Even got something for all of you, your organic freaks.
Organic freaks!
They got rose hip tea, and it's hip you see, cause the rose is the hip of a
guinea.
Eat the ribs.
Yum,
yum, yum, yeah, eat the ribs.
Yum,
yum, yeah, eat the ribs.
Yum,
yum, yeah, eat the ribs. Yum, yum, yeah, oh, the rich has the flower, a thing to shame. Spreading out the problem, but we know who's to blame. And I'm tired of living in life, best to forget, eat the ribs.
Yum,
yum, yeah, eat the ribs.
Yum,
yum, yeah. It's time I get to eat a little bit. Sure looks good. I say, brother. Can you spare a rib? I know you can. I'm going to take it anyway. Watch out.
So that was Blackberry in his song called Eat the Rich. This is Dan Sang here with Subversity. Today we have a treat for you. We're going to talk with some anarchists who were in Long Beach during May Day. And they'll give us an account of what really happened on that fateful day when 100 of them or so were arrested. And the police apparently beat them up. We're going to find out what really happened, and that's coming up. But tomorrow there'll be a rally at UC Irvine at noon on police brutality at the flagpole at UC Irvine at noon. And then on the next day after that, on Thursday at noon at the ATM area at the student center, there'll be also another rally on political prisoners. And a number of people will be speaking about different cases around the country, as well as the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. But there will be other political prisoners' cases that will be brought up. So it's like a teach-in, but it's an open-air teach-in, sponsored by the Academia and Action group here at UC Irvine, a very activist group that has recently participated in a number of public events, including a teach-in on the FTAA. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the Regents of the University of California nor the management of KUCI. We are in the midst of our fund drive here at KUCI, and KUCI cannot operate by itself. It takes several $100 a day actually to operate it, and most of us here are volunteers. Almost the bulk of the public affairs hosts are volunteers, and all the music hosts basically are volunteers too. And so we need your support. If you like the kind of alternative programming here at KUCI, and not just what you can hear on this program, please call 949-824-5824 and pledge. There'll be a host of premiums that are available, and you can take a look at the premiums that you can get for your donation on the webpage at kuci.org. To take a look at the webpage, at the premiums you can get, go to the webpage for KUCI. On today's program, we're going to be talking with a number of people who were involved in a black block action at the Long Beach area, in which the police overreacted and ended up putting many of them in jail. And some of them even had to get medical treatment for their injuries. There was tear gas, there was rubber bullets, there were rubber bullets, and there was baton shoving and beating. And so we're going to hear a first-hand account from these individuals who witnessed what happened. And so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, do give us your support. We are trying to raise $15,000 this year, and every little bit helps. We need your support to remain able to broadcast. And we only ask your help once a year, and that's 10 days a year to ask for your donations, when we give you 355 other days of uninterrupted programming. A $30 basic pledge will help us reach our goals. If you have donated before, consider raising that pledge to $50 this year and challenge people to give at the $100 or $200 level. And they do, and we do accept credit cards. KUCI, as you know, is the alternative voice for Orange County, and I've been doing this show since 1993. And one of the reasons I did this show was I thought that it was important to bring the voices of people that are not heard otherwise to the air and give voice to the voiceless here in Orange County. And so my show actually started back in the fall of 1993. And the first guest on the show was the brother of an Arab American that had been assassinated here in Santa Ana, actually. So we're going to go to this interview now with a group of people who were around in Long Beach at the protests during May Day. Okay, welcome to the show.
Sorry for the late appearance, Dan.
That's fine.
We're anarchists. We don't really believe in time. We had to...
I just watched a Filipino movie, and the people were 2 hours late, and they said, wow, that's even early for Filipino time.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think even different cultures have different sense of time. So how were you all there on May Day? What happened? What actually happened?
Oh, it's a long story. We gathered up at the promenade, which is kind of like a park. It's a circular park. And we sat there for basically about a half hour, about an hour. And we were waiting for some people to arrive. And we gathered up a large number, which was about 125. And we were hoping that different organizations would show up. But it turned out to be all anarchists, and the majority was all black bloc. So But it was beautiful to see that many anarchists out there, and it was beautiful to see that much of a black bloc out there.
It's from all over the area, huh?
Yes.
Southern, yeah.
Yeah, it was all from the Southern California area.
With a lot of people from Orange County.
They had an orange bloc, what they called it, the Orange County bloc. They all wore orange masks and carried an orange flag.
Really?
Yeah.
And the Kingdom of Orange or something.
Yeah, I guess so.
The video footage I saw, it looked like people were peacefully demonstrating, and the police started shoving the people at the front with batons. Is that right?
Yeah, the march was just going down the street, and it went around a corner, and the police were lined up there, and they pretty much just started hitting people with batons. There was a banner at the front of the march, though, so a lot of people didn't get hit because of that. But they were just hitting everyone they could reach, pretty much. And eventually the march turned around and went another way and got beaten again. So
there was no provocation? Did people throw things at them at that time or not?
I personally did not see anything thrown at the police.
Because the media coverage seemed to imply that it was all the beating happened after, like, bags of manure were thrown at them or something like that. I don't know.
That's definitely not true. The police definitely attacked the anarchists without any provocation whatsoever.
And at the beginning, they were using their truncheons or their batons and shoving it into people.
Yeah.
What happened after that then? Was that before you turned the corner, you said? You were talking?
Well, first the march went down one street and then turned around and went back the other way because it got blocked off. And then the next corner it got to was blocked off, and the police started beating people. So it turned another corner, and then pretty much the police surrounded people there. And then...
split us up, kind of.
Yeah.
We all started running, and then they just attacked.
Were you running into a cul-de-sac, could you get out of there, or was it? Did they surround
us? There was,
you
there was no way to get out.
Uh-huh.
They surrounded us pretty much.
Were they on horses too, or no?
I don't know. They weren't.
So just rows and rows of Long Beach police, I guess.
Yes. There was also, I believe, SWAT team and some sheriffs there also.
Yeah, they deployed the Long Beach SWAT team. I saw the SWAT team van before I came there.
What time was this then? This was in the 3 o'clock or something?
People started gathering at the promenade about 3 p.m. The march left about 4, and everyone was pretty much arrested by 4:40.
So they arrested about half the people or more than half the people?
I'd say about 99% of them.
Yeah, there was about 150 people total at the march, and between 95 and 100 were arrested.
So when did they start firing tear gas and rubber bullets?
Go ahead.
Oh, that was as we were running away from them, they started shooting rubber bullets, and most of the people got hit with some kind of rubber bullet or other object.
And so then you were hurt and you had to get medical treatment?
Yeah, I was hit by two. They weren't rubber bullets, they were actually hard plastic bullets. They were different from the foam rubber bullets that police have used before. And I was hit twice and had to go to the hospital because the wounds were bleeding and there's large bruises.
You have a cut on your face. Is that where it happened?
No, that's from something else.
Random anarchist parties end up rough sometimes. She was also injured.
Right? Yeah, I got hit in the back of my leg with a rubber bullet, but I wasn't taken to the hospital. So
was that pretty deep when you were hit?
It didn't really go deep. It was just bleeding a lot. And it left like...
So from the wound, it bled then? Wow.
Yeah, and that was through two pairs of pants that I had on it. It bled through... It ripped holes through both, and it was bleeding.
How far away were the cops when they shot at you?
Pretty, between, I don't know, like, less...
It depends if some of them were really, really close. Some of them
they were all less than 50 feet away.
Wow.
Yeah, there was
depends on how fast you ran away.
Yeah.
Left behind.
The thing is that you gotta notice about the police is they'll charge in with batons and stuff. When people disperse and when people run, which is, like... why people shouldn't do that at protests, but I mean this is, you know, this one it was a good idea. People ran because there is no way out unless you start running. But as soon as people start running and panicking, the police take advantage of that, and they'll start grabbing people, they'll start beating people. They know that you'll leave like people will get left like on the ground and get trampled, and then they'll just beat those people like once they're left on the ground, and then while you're running away, they'll start shooting you.
You saw people on the ground being beaten?
Yeah, I did. I got up just in time not to get beaten.
So you were able to, were you beaten at all?
No, actually, I escaped being beaten, like, a lot. I got up and I ran down to the retirement home itself, and when I looked over there, everyone was huddled, like, across of it, and so I figured, hey, you know, might as well join the huddled masses.
Were you all three of you arrested?
Yes.
And, what happened after that, after they arrested people?
Well, I was sort of treated differently because they
they know who you are.
They determined for some reason they thought I was one of the leaders. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they thought that. So from the time I was arrested, I was kept isolated from all the other protesters who were arrested, and I personally was like interrogated for about 2 hours, kept in handcuffs for about 5 hours.
Wow.
I was totally isolated from other protesters. And
you said interrogated. What did they ask?
They didn't. Well, it wasn't a direct interrogation. It was more sort of a psychological warfare. Like they would lie to me and tell me other protesters had named me as the leader. They tried reverse psychology on me. They tried giving me a guilt trip. Just tried, like, you know, every sort of mind trick they could think of to get me to admit to something I didn't do. And
how many people were in the room when you, I mean, you were in isolation, but how many cops were in?
It was me and two police.
And they knew who you were, obviously.
Yeah.
And did you say you didn't have to talk to them? Did you tell them you didn't have to talk to them? Or?
Yeah, I told them I was going to remain silent, and I really didn't tell them anything at all.
Did they let you call your lawyer? Or?
No, I repeatedly said I'm going to remain silent, I want a lawyer, but at no time was I given opportunity to use a phone at all. So.
And you couldn't hear what the other people were in, they were in other rooms then, the other...
Yeah, they were completely separate from me.
So how did you get out of it eventually?
Eventually they called my mother because I'm a juvenile. They don't give juveniles bail, they just call our parents and release us.
So they kept you how many hours altogether?
12 hours that time.
Wow. And how about you guys?
She was in the women's jail, so maybe she could tell you about that. I'll tell you about the men's jail in a moment.
For the most part, the adult women were doing jail solidarity, which is a tactic that we use. It's where you don't give any information, kind of clogs up their jails. And then they apparently found out that I was a juvenile, and I got sent to juvenile hall where they kept me until the next day. I was released at around 4 o'clock the next day, so I was detained for about 24 hours in total.
How did they find out? You told them?
No, they do fingerprints and they find out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So even juveniles have records on juveniles somewhere?
Yeah.
In the system?
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. Have you been arrested before? No?
Yeah, once.
Oh, yeah. So maybe that's where it came from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, in the men's?
The men's jail was pretty, I don't know, we were just doing crazy things. Like, when they first took me, they were asking me my name, and I wouldn't give it to them, and I told them that I was a prisoner of war. And then he was trying to preach Jesus to me.
Really?
Yeah, and I told him he was a fanatical follower of a false religion. And he didn't take too kindly to that. Then he got a deputy who was a Christian. They're both telling me that I was not only in bondage from them, but in bondage from the devil. And then they finally took me up to a cell and put me in with about 15 other people. And there was a cell next to us, which it was cell 5 and cell 6. So we would yell across from each other, hello, hey, cell 5, or hey, cell 6. And I knew people in the other cell next to me and knew some people inside my cell. And when we first got in there, we started doing noise riots, like pounding on the walls and on the beds. And they got really mad about that, too.
Did you have individual beds?
We didn't have enough beds to cover our entire place. So some of us slept on the floor. They would give us bunks, And about at 9 o'clock p.m., they would give us a bunks to sleep on. Like, not bunks, but like a roll, which is consists of bedding and, you know, basic bed materials, like a mat and sheets. And then at 4:30 in the morning, they would wake us up and take it away from us and give us, like, food. Well, most of us were vegetarian in there, so... When they gave us, they gave us meatloaf on this stale bread, and we're like, what? And then they gave us chicken broth, and we're like, you know, this, and we're like, hey, you know, we're vegetarians. And he's like, oh, this is all we have, which was crap, because when someone walked by, they saw, like, a bunch of vegetarian, like, food inside.
Yeah, because you were religious, you know, if you went in for a religious reason, they would have to serve that food.
Exactly, and... So, well, anyways, we got pissed off that they gave us that, so we took all of our chicken broth and threw it at the door and, like, spilled it under the door so that the guards would have to smell it. And then we started pounding on the walls. We took all the spoons out and started pounding on the walls with the spoons. And then they came in again, and they were like, you guys are acting like children. We're going to take you to county. You're not going to like that if you keep this up.
Take you to what? County?
County, which county. Is the Twin Towers. Which I guess isn't that pleasant.
That's in Los Angeles, huh?
Yes, it is. That's where...
By the Pakistan.
Yeah. That's where some people are being held right now.
Oh, right. So there's a vigil there. There has been a vigil.
Yeah, there has been a vigil there. And yeah, we can go into that too, but...
How long were you? Did you stay in then?
I stayed in there for about, I think... I can't even keep track of time. I think a day and a half or 2 days. I came out at like 11 o'clock.
Did you get bailed out, or how?
Yeah, my collective bailed me out eventually.
So the collective bailed a lot of people out?
Yeah, there's a collective called Alternative Gathering Collective and August Mutual Aid Network.
Anarchist
Mutual Aid Network, which actually used to be the August Collective, the broke off.
All right.
And they were on the show once, too. And they've used most of their funds right now for this. Like, we had $1,000 from AGC, and we used all of that. Anarchist Mutual Aid Network put $500 towards a lawyer for another gentleman that was inside of the prison right now who's facing deportation.
Oh, right. I read about that. Is he still inside?
Yeah, he is. They're trying to bail him out. There's no bail. But the lawyer is working on trying to get bail from him so they can bail him out. His parents and his family is going through a really, really hard time. You know, obviously, as their son's getting deported, you know,
he's an adult or minor?
He's an adult. I've had contact with his sister.
What country are they trying to get?
Mexico.
Oh. And so, because he's not a citizen, basically?
No, he's not a citizen. I guess he's been trying to appeal... for citizenship for a while, but hasn't been successful in it.
So what are the charges they claim to have held people on?
Pretty much everyone who is arrested is charged with failure to disperse and conspiracy to commit a crime. And then some people have more charges than that, such as riot, inciting a riot, assault, possession of a deadly weapon, and various other charges that they're holding some people longer and with higher bails for those charges.
This failure to disperse, did they say this is an illegal gathering and that you have to clear out or what?
They say they did, but as far as I know, no one in the crowd that I've talked to ever heard a dispersal order, nor were we given anywhere to disperse to because we were surrounded by police. We couldn't leave even if we had wanted to.
It sounds like the D2K protest too, when they made people, you know, run into certain areas and then they made them back up and then, How come, can you compare this action with the San Diego border one? It seemed like the police there may have been better trained. They didn't overreact, you know?
Right. The police in San Diego were more restrained and, we're not really sure why the Long Beach police reacted as they did. Some people have, you know, guessed that perhaps they were scared, but no one really knows. And of course, they're trying to say it was justified because people were throwing things at them, but as everyone I've talked to, no one has saw anything thrown at the police. So
how about sticks? Somebody said one account I heard on the mainstream media said there were pointed sticks used against
them. There was on the back of the banner, there was sticks along the top of the banner to hold it with, and when the police began hitting the banner with their batons, the sticks on the banner broke, and people were left holding those sticks. And so, I mean, it has been said in the media that people brought sticks, but they were just the ones that got broken from the banner.
So they didn't bring sticks to fight with?
Not that I saw.
It's also to be noted that the police captain was actually telling the police to calm down, to back off, to stop hitting the protesters, told them all we need to do is hold the line, but the police disobeyed orders, the ones that were in the front line, and one of them, I remember the captain kept grabbing, and he was like, hey, 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 and he just kept hitting the banner repeatedly until the banner finally fell, and then the captain just let them all just, like, swoop in and start hitting people. So weren't even fighting them whatsoever.
Were there any TV cameras there? There was some.
Yeah, there was most mainstream media, local mainstream media was there. There was also some independent people from the Independent Media Center in Los Angeles, as well as random people, like individuals with video cameras and cameras who were there. But as far as I know, a lot of people got their cameras taken away. So a lot of footage that might have, you know, evidence that would help out the protesters is missing or gone, you know. So
can they get it back? Have they gotten it back?
I personally haven't heard if people have gotten their cameras back. I don't think most people did.
Were the police videotaping too? Did you notice?
Yes, they were. They had several people filming.
But how about the most, like, I heard there were people with fractures even?
Yeah, at least three people have broken arms or wrists. One person, one of those people has, like, their entire elbow was shattered. Those are the three that I know of. But there were a lot of other injuries. At least two people got hit in the face, either with, with the plastic bullets, and their faces were really swollen and bleeding, and there were a lot of other injuries too.
I was in the cell actually with one of the people who got shot in the face, and he was an innocent bystander. He wasn't even involved whatsoever, and the police shoved him into the protest area and then shot him like pretty close to point blank in the face and just knocked him on the floor, and he got up and started running, and they shot him again and he fell down, and I saw him like lying on the concrete like with blood like all over his face, and I ran up to him like with my hands up hoping they wouldn't shoot me, and asked him if he needed like medical attention. But he was really scared, so I just decided to go back over to where I was huddled up with all those other people. And there was another innocent bystander who just got off of work, and he got shoved into the protest as soon as he got out the door, and he got shot in the chest, like right here, and he had like a big hole in his chest and one in his leg. He was pretty mad too.
So he wasn't part of the Black Bloc?
Definitely not.
Was he wearing regular clothes?
He's wearing business casual clothes.
How about the injured inside the jail? Did they give them treatment or not? Were they able to get any?
Some people were taken to the hospital after they were arrested. The person with the shattered elbow, he was arrested about 4:30 and wasn't taken to the hospital until midnight that night. So a lot of people were not given medical treatment as soon as they needed it. So, but as far as I know, everyone with serious injuries was taken to a hospital.
There was one boy that I was in juvenile hall with who was nailed in the cheek with a rubber bullet and actually had to have his cheek drained because the swelling, the blood in his cheek was building up to about the size of a baseball, and he didn't even get medical treatment until late that night, about 12:30.
I understand Midnight Special provided legal help, is that right? Or that collective, did they do anything?
They've been giving us information on the legal issues involved and jail and court solidarity, how we can try to get the other protesters out of jail and things like that. So they've been really helpful.
Did you, did people, were they able to get any charges dropped from initially, no?
So far, at the arraignments, as far as I know, all charges were, are being held, still held. And at the arraignments, actually, some people got extra charges, as well as all the bail was raised from, well, some most people had $500 bail, and they all got their bail raised to $30,000. And right now, I think the highest bail is $100,000, but no charges have been dropped yet.
But these are these bails for people that have already out or not?
Well, they, after people are arraigned, they were given higher bail and told they wouldn't get out until that bail was paid. But then a lot of them were just released a few hours later, and we're not clear as to why that is, because the bail wasn't paid as far as I know.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. Why did what did that person do that they're holding for like 100,000 or whatever?
I'm not sure who exactly has that bail. I just know.
I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Person's alias, he goes by Ruckus. He's being held in there because of one, he has prior charges that were trumped up during the DNC of inciting a riot and assaulting a police officer with a deadly weapon. He basically, they put all the blame on him last time for Monday night's incident uprising, I guess, at the Rage Against the Machine show. And he didn't have a mask on there, but he was just yelling at the police, and he wasn't doing anything at the DNC, and he got arrested down there for inciting the riot, and they thought he was the leader of the Black Bloc. Down here, he got arrested once again for the same thing everyone else has, except they added a charge, assault on a police officer with a firearm, you know.
Firearm.
Firearm, yeah. Which I don't know what they're trying to say is a firearm or not. We haven't gotten that information yet. But he's also getting violation of probation, felony charge for, because he was on probation from the DNC.
You're listening to Subversity on KCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. We're talking with some anarchists who were at the protests march in during May Day in Long Beach. We're in the middle of a fund drive, so if you would like to support the show or the station, call 824-5824. Or if you'd like to talk with our guests, 949-824-5824. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the Regents of the University of California, nor the management of KECI. At the arraignment, they also treated you like criminals, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Heather right here got arrested.
Yes, on the way walking to the arraignments to see my friends being arraigned in court, I was stopped. They stopped a group of us because in Long Beach there's a daytime curfew from 8:30 to 2:30.
Daytime curfew.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. If you're under 18, you can't be out during those hours because they say you're supposed to be in school. And one police officer recognized me from being in. He had seen me when I was in the juvenile jail earlier that week, and he recognized me as a juvenile, so he stopped me for truancy, and. Basically, I ended up being arrested again for truancy and resisting arrest. And since it was my second arrest in only about 2 days, they decided to hold me overnight. And so after that arrest, I was arrested about 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning on Thursday, and I was released around 6 p.m. on Friday.
Wow, and overnight.
Yeah, I had to go, since it was my second arrest, in that short period, I had to go see a judge on Friday, and he released me, and so I got out that evening.
I thought it's not truancy if you're with, you know, if you're somewhere with the permission of your folks.
Right. Well, I repeatedly told him that I do not attend school and that I had permission from my mother to be there, but the officer did not listen to me, and when he grabbed my wrists were really swollen from being in handcuffs for so long earlier that week that, you know, a natural reaction when someone grabs your wrist is to jerk your hand away if they're in pain. And so I was arrested for truancy and resisting arrest because of that.
Because you flinched and you...
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, when we walked into the place, they had like around 20, 30, there's 20 police officers outside of the courtroom, and inside the courtroom they had 15 more, and they were guarding like the front of the courtroom. When we tried to go in there, they told us we had to leave our bags outside. We couldn't bring pens or pencils inside, and one of the people we were with, Matt, asked him, you know, can we bring crayons inside? Which they thought we were trying to be, you know, trying to be smart. And but he was asking that because he was seeing if it was because, you know, they thought pencils were a weapon or they didn't want writing utensils inside there. And he eventually admitted that he doesn't want crayons in there either because there's no writing utensils allowed. And we asked him why that was, and he said, I don't know, I just follow orders.
Actually, if you reporters can sit there with their pencil and copy things down.
Well, obviously...
Only the juries can't write things down.
Right, but, obviously we were treated differently because of our political ideas and because of the fact that we had been arrested earlier that week, because I'm pretty sure there were reporters at the arraignments, and obviously they were writing, so there's no reason why they would, you know, single out
the anarchists other than that. Were you dressed in black there, too?
Well, not in black. We're not with the masks and everything, but a lot of us just wear black because that's what color our clothes are, and so they tend to recognize us by that.
You know, on this black bloc issue, there's no leaders, right, with the black bloc?
No.
Yeah, so it's wrong to say accuse you, one of you, or whatever.
Well, definitely, and the police have been repeatedly told at various protests and after being, when people are arrested, that there is no leader of the black bloc or of the anarchist movement at all. And they don't seem to understand that we don't have leaders and that we don't believe in leaders. And so they continue trying to single out people and try to charge them with worse crimes because they claim that they're leaders.
Is it always by consensus when a black bloc does something? Is that, or do people individually do stuff?
Well, within,
even if they're in a black bloc.
Within the black bloc, there's usually what's called affinity groups, which are small groups of about, you know, usually about 5 people, but they vary. And within the affinity group, they decide what actions they want to take in the larger black bloc. And basically, the black bloc is just a coming together of affinity groups, and the black bloc basically the black bloc supports all the affinity groups, you know. And but they're usually the black bloc will have like a meeting before a protest and sort of like discuss what they would like to see happen. But ultimately, it's up to each affinity group which actions they're going to take.
Because the whole principle of anarchism is that it's individual responsibility, right?
Individual freedom. Responsibility to the people and environment around you.
One of the criticisms I heard recently was that these are people that you guys have leisure time that you can do all this because you're white and you don't have to support like poor families or something. How do you react to this?
If you looked at the people that were arrested, and the media did, and independent media did as well, they weren't all white. And seeing that one of our comrades is being deported, he's probably not white.
Right. Yeah.
Most of the people that have these criticisms are usually white. That's the very, very strange thing. And they have a lot of leisure time to sit around on their computers and send emails criticizing the black bloc. We don't usually have the time because of our, most of us are working class, and like a lot of black bloc is strangely like, you know, runaways. Like a lot of anarchists, it's strange just because like a lot of anarchists are poor, the runaways, a lot of them are young, and they try to criticize people for being young as well, because they're like, look at these angry youth out in the streets breaking our windows, destroying our way of life. You know, and stuff like that. But I mean, these middle class, like bourgeois, white liberals sit around inside their house, and they're with their armchairs, just basically criticizing
like the anarchist movement in general. You know, and it's not like every anarchist goes out there anyways in black bloc. You know, there's a lot of anarchists that don't go out in black bloc, but they like to generalize their movement as well. You know, and actually the anti-globalization movement wouldn't be as big as it is today without the certain tactics that anarchists have been using lately.
Do you think this was a successful, I mean, even though like most of the people were arrested, well, do you think it was successful in the sense that it exposed the police for what they were?
I think it was in a way successful in that it did get so many anarchists out from all over Southern California, from San Diego to Santa Barbara. There were people there in Riverside, and you know, it's rare that people come from that far for a protest. So I think it was successful in that. And also it has exposed and made police brutality more personal to a lot of people who probably hadn't directly experienced jail or rubber bullets or batons before. And it really showed sort of what a police state looks like, because every person who walked by what was going on, you know, they saw police shooting at people with peace signs in the air. And, you know, so it really does expose how brutal and unjust the police are and this whole system really is. So I think it did a lot towards that.
There's another incident down at the Candlelight Vigil itself where the deputies actually came out with grenade launchers filled with tear gas canisters and rubber bullet guns. I don't know what kind of guns those were. And the media was actually there, and they started videotaping all these like peaceful people with candles, you know, eating food and, you know, and like basically out there in support of their friends that are inside jail still. You know, just sitting there with candles, these people came out with bats. You know, you bring a candle, they'll bring a bat, a gun, and grenade launchers. You know, and the media was actually videotaping them, like, sitting there, like, pointing guns at us while we're sitting there with candles, and the sergeant saw that and was like, uh-oh. So he told the police with guns to move behind a wall, like, once the media got there. But the media already videotaped it, so it's too late for them. But it's good that we have in-your-face oppression now, so everyone can see it.
Well, why pick Long Beach as the site of this latest May Day event?
We don't know who chose that site, since this was anonymously organized, so we don't really know why that location was chosen.
Because I thought it was BNLA or something, because I guess that was...
People speculated, and yeah. I mean, since we don't know who chose that location, we can't really say why.
How do you keep out, like, adjunct provocateurs and informants? How do you know can you trust somebody, I guess?
That's can't it. Trust anyone.
Well, that is one of the reasons. That is one of the reasons for having an affinity group, because if you have a group of people, of only people you have known for a long time and really can trust, then those are the only people who will know what actions you and your group are going to take, and that way, you know, everyone's in black bloc, so even if there are agents in the black bloc, you know, what are they going to describe the person as, wearing black and a mask? You know, they can't, it's really hard to identify people as doing certain actions, so that's why black bloc with affinity groups works really well.
They would have to have one in each affinity group, I guess.
Yes, and since affinity groups are supposed to be only with people you really, really trust and know really well, then there's not really a way for them to be infiltrated.
How do people, but if that's the case, then how do you know these people that came from Santa Barbara, or say they came from Santa Barbara or whatever, are not, are not infiltrators or whatever?
Well, they very well could be, but since they're in a separate affinity group, they wouldn't know what other individuals and groups are doing. They would just see the actions of the black bloc as a whole, and it would be difficult for them to pinpoint an action a certain person as doing a certain action.
But if they just showed up, how would they have time to form an affinity group? I mean, how do you?
Well, some people did just come as individuals, but usually people have no other anarchists that, you know, they can form a group with. And if they don't know anyone they trust doing direct action with, then they can, you know, do peaceful actions. Or if they just don't feel comfortable doing certain actions, they can just be there. I mean, some people came as medics, including one of the people who's being charged with assault on a police officer with a firearm. He was there as a medic just solely to help people who were injured by the police, and now he's being charged with felonies. So, but, you know, usually if you don't feel like you're comfortable doing certain actions, you can come as a medic or just, you know, to film or just to see what goes on.
How many people in total were arrested? How many adults, how many juveniles?
I've heard about 75 adults and 25 juveniles, but the exact number is between 90 and 100 total. We're not sure.
So there's still a few people inside?
Yeah, there is. Right now we have Javier. He is still stuck inside. He's still stuck inside Twin Towers, and we have another person named Ruckus, and he's the one facing. He's facing a lot of time, like up to 7 years in prison. The guy Javier is facing deportation charges. We have another person named Alec, and his charges keep on changing.
Are these people in the Twin Towers also, or are they?
Ruckus is in the Men's Central, which is right across from Twin Towers. The other two are in Twin Towers. There's also at least one juvenile who is at Los Pedridos Juvenile Hall in Downey, and I've heard that there are up to a total of 8 people still in jail. This is what we were told by someone who was released, I think, yesterday. But we only know of the 3 adults and 1 minor who are still in jail right now.
What was it like in juvenile hall when you spent the night?
Basically, it was boring. it involved a lot of sitting around. I was on hunger and thirst strike the entire time I was there, so I was kind
of... food strike?
Hunger and thirst strike, which means I didn't eat or drink anything while I was there. But mainly it involved a lot of sitting around, then like going to court and waiting for like 4 hours for it to be my turn to come in front of the judge. So,
were you with other kids, or were the other minors?
I was put in with like the general population at the juvenile hall, but at that point there were no protesters from May Day still there, so I was just in with other prisoners. And
did you talk to them?
I talked a little bit with them, but mostly I kept quiet because I was nervous and so I didn't talk very much while I was in there, especially because I didn't know anyone else there.
You didn't do any
spies.
You didn't do prison solidarity there.
Well, I figured it wasn't the appropriate situation to be trying to spread anarchist ideas, since I didn't really know anyone.
We talked to, actually, inside my jail cell, we talked to the guy that was dressed in business casual clothes that got shot twice.
Oh, wow.
He was turned out to be a socialist, but he never heard of anarchists before, and the sergeants went around telling everyone that the anarchists are a cult, and they're going to come through the streets to destroy all the businesses.
They think...
So watch out.
The Black Bloc is an organization, don't they?
Yeah, I think they do. I don't know. The police don't seem to be very smart. For one, they think there's a leader, and they couldn't comprehend not having someone to tell them what to do.
Because some of the news accounts of Quebec, for instance, they say the Black Bloc formed in Seattle.
Formed in Seattle. That's a rumor that the media has been putting out for quite a while. The Black Bloc as a tactic first came up in Europe in the 80s and really didn't come to America until Seattle, but it's not an organization. You know, there's different people in every single Black Bloc, and it's a tactic. It's a tactic just like civil disobedience. You know, there's no civil disobedience organization. It's just people coming together, recognizing they want to do this similar tactic, and coming together on this occasion, and that's what the Black Bloc is too.
So the people in this action on May Day were made up of lots of different groups, not just one.
Right. There are people from like formal collectives. There were individuals. There were
affinity groups.
There were, you know, people who maybe had never been to a protest before. I mean, it was.
Are there any groups, organized groups, in Orange County now, or no?
There's a alternative gathering collective that just formed up in Orange County. consists of, I think, two or three people, but I don't know, Orange County is a...
There's no Black Cross, so there used to be.
There's a Los Angeles, it's Los Angeles Black Cross Federation.
Right.
Anarchist
Black Cross Federation, but it's supposed to be the LA chapter, but it's run out of Orange County.
How many people, were you surprised at the number of people that showed up this time?
Not really. We're more surprised at the number of police, because it was absurd number of police compared to the ratio of police to protesters was just unnecessary and a waste of money. And yeah, it was like...
They probably all got overtime. Or
yeah, there seemed to be at least three police for every protester, so it was really crazy how many police were there.
You know, when I talked to you, you said the rains were... Did you remember this conversation?
What's up?
You thought that when you do action, rains are good.
Oh, yeah, raining. Yes.
This wasn't raining, so maybe that's why the police were...
That's the... Besides the kind of revolutionary spies and traitors that were among us, it was definitely there was no rain, and that was very bad luck.
Too much sun.
Obviously, the...
Too much sun.
Mother Nature wasn't smiling that day.
A wedding or something. How about what are your? I mean, are you both facing? Are you all facing? All three facing, like, prison terms or something now?
Failure to disperse and conspiracy to commit a crime, which is felony charge and a misdemeanor charge.
Right. The maximum for a sentence for conspiracy to commit a crime is 2 years, as far as I know. As well as I've also got truancy and resisting arrest that I'm facing. So, pretty much everyone is facing at least 2 years, though it's probably unlikely that everyone will be convicted of that. But definitely the people with the worst felonies, such as assault and things like that, are facing longer time.
Will you have to get your individual lawyers, or will the group try to provide help?
We have legal strategy right now, but it's probably... We're not discussing it out in the open yet.
Right.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, there's also the FBI, and I heard that they're going to have a grand jury as well.
Grand jury?
Yeah.
You know, in my days, my time, there was this whole grand jury project to try to educate people about keeping silent and not talking to the feds when they show up, because they would go and the communities and try to get information from people, because grand juries have a lot of power, you know.
They do.
And they when you go in, you can't go in with your lawyer.
And you don't have the Fifth Amendment right either.
You're basically vulnerable. And so it's better not to be caught in, obviously. So there's a way, so there was a whole lot of resistance, you know, grand jury resistance at the time.
Right. They're down in Oregon right now. Right. They've been facing a grand jury, I don't know if you heard about it, but...
It's the ELF,
Craig Rosenberg from the...
Rosebrough,
okay. From, he's the spokesperson for the Earth Liberation Front.
Right.
He got put before a grand jury, and there's been, grand juries are unconstitutional and totally unjust, but...
Is that true, then? So you've heard that they're impending a grand jury for...
Yes.
On the anarchists?
I heard that yesterday.
From a good source? Or
yeah, from a very, very reliable source.
And is this a federal grand jury, or is this a state thing? What do you think?
What I think is if they're going to be taking a grand jury down here, it's going to be probably a federal grand jury.
Yeah,
probably,
FBI.
Yeah, and they're going to have a... I was doing research on it last night. And I guess they have, two different kinds of grand juries. There's, I don't know what the first one's called, but the other one's called a special grand jury investigates criminal actions to get indictments and subpoenas witnesses and so forth.
So usually they're the arm of the prosecutors, so they're not really independent, you know.
Right.
Grand juries, you think of them as, I mean, even the county, Orange County has a grand jury, but they're really not independent because the prosecutors bring them the cases and then they, you know, since they have much control, the prosecutors have a lot of control, they can present whatever they want. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very scary.
You know, this Las Vegas case that you were involved in, did the cases get thrown out?
Yeah, they dropped all charges.
Yeah, this was when they pulled people over.
Is when the SWAT team pulled people out of
out of their cars and arrested them for trespassing without giving them a warning. It was during an animal rights demonstration. It was totally unnecessary as well. It seems like there's a lot of repression going on right now, and the state's getting, the people are getting stronger, and the state's getting, just trying to smash them down even more, because their voice is finally getting out.
Do you think the state's getting more paranoid about it?
I definitely think the state's getting more paranoid, and I think a lot of the people in the movement are getting more paranoid as well.
Are you reading, are you guys still able to read stuff? I mean, or study anarchist classics or works or whatever?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of us study, you know, the anarchist theories and actions from the 18th century. A lot of us focus more on modern anarchist ideas. Some people go back to sort of primitive ways of living as ideal anarchist ways of living. And so there's a lot of different, like, sort of ideas and areas of study within the anarchist movement that we focus on.
Do you have study groups like the communists used to have, study cells?
I'm pretty sure there is one study group in Orange County.
All right.
And people have been talking a lot about forming other study groups, but right now we've got, you know, our priorities are getting people out of jail and keeping people free, so we'll worry about studying once we're all free.
Yeah, we don't have that much time on our hands.
Are you going to go back to school? No?
I don't plan to.
So school doesn't do anything for you right now?
No. I'm educating myself through my friends and through my own studies about the things that I think are important, and so I don't really see a purpose in being in any sort of institutionalized education.
How about a diploma? Is that important to you?
No, no, really, it's not.
GD or whatever. They,
no.
Yeah. So so the main thing is solidarity with the prisoners now and with other people.
It's a phone.
Yeah.
It's outside. Yeah.
Right now our main priorities are getting people out of jail, either through bail or through trials or any way necessary. And arraignments and pre-trials are starting tomorrow, so we're going to be at the court in solidarity to see what happens.
What time is that?
That I believe they start at 8:30 at the Long Beach courts, which are... they're in downtown Long Beach. I don't know the exact location.
Actually, tomorrow there's a rally on campus on police abuse. So actually, if you're not doing that, you could come by and talk also on police brutality at the Flagpole at UC Irvine at 12 to 1. And then on Thursday, it's a session on free all political prisoners at the ATM area of the Student Center at UCI. And there'll be various speakers, including Mitsui Yamada, who works with political prisoners. And there'll be also a speaker, Linda Evans, who I believe was recently pardoned by President Clinton, anti-imperialist fighter. And various speakers talking about different cases of political prisoners that you may not know about, like David Wong in New York, actually, in addition to the Mumia case. So that's there's a video actually on the Mumia case at Social Science Lecture Hall 100 at 6:30, but from 12 to 1 at the Student Center here at UCI, there will be a session on Thursday on political prisoners. So I guess we're coming to the close of our time. Thank you very much for coming in, and good luck.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah. This is Dan Zhang signing off for Subversely here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. We'll be putting this show on the web, encoding it, so you can listen to it there if you miss some of it. This is Dan Zhang signing off. The opinions expressed on the show were not necessarily those of the Regents of the University of California nor management of KUCI.
Don't you think that Every storm, eat the rich.
Tell them,